Thanks, Debbie and Brad. Not only do we like you here at the Green Front, we love you, and we're really glad that you mentioned Tim DeChristopher and the film made about his story, Bitter 70, because that is going to be the focus of our first segment. We'll get to that in just a moment, but I want to wish all of our listeners a happy Earth Day week. Also, welcome to the show, at least for the first half, my occasional co-host, whenever he's available, D.R. Tucker. In our second half, we're going to be talking to the Dog Patch Alliance. That's an activist group that works on forest conservation, and they have just recently declared a major victory with one of the largest paper companies in the world, International Paper. We'll find out. We always like to bring you the good news as well as the facts on the bad news. So it's going to be a great hour. Can't wait to get started. And I want to welcome to the program now producer and director of the film Bitter 70, that is Beth and George Gage, co-producers on that great movie. Can't wait to see it. Welcome to the program.
Hi. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you. Congratulations on recognizing a really, really interesting story. If you could tell DR and I and our listeners a little bit about your background. Do you always do documentaries on sort of newsworthy events? Is this the first time you've done this kind of thing? And what about Tim made you decide to, spend, I'm sure, significant resources telling his story?
Well, I'll tell the first part of the story. Our background goes way back to New York City and working as a madman, on Madison Avenue, and we raised two beautiful children, and then I became a television commercial director both in New York and Los Angeles, and Beth started producing my television commercials when the kids got a little bit older, and we also started to write narrative screenplays, and we had a couple of those made into narrative movies, which I directed and Beth produced. And then about 22 years ago, we decided that we were very tired of the Hollywood rat race, and I was very tired of directing television commercials, and Beth was very tired of producing them. So we moved to Telluride, Colorado, and we were introduced to a wonderful film festival called Mountain Film, and Beth came home from Mountain Film and said, these are the kind of films we should be making. And it was it was documentaries about the environment, about social justice issues, indigenous rights issues, et cetera, et cetera. So this is our seventh documentary since that period of time. One dealt with the history in World War II of the great mountain soldiers, the 10th Mountain Division. One dealt with people with disabilities doing amazing things like river rafting, mountain climbing. One was on indigenous rights called American Outrage. And most recently, we did From the Ground Up, the story of 9/11 firemen's widows. And then Beth came home one day with a newspaper as we were finishing up American Outrage, and there was an article about Tim DeChristopher and this ingenious act of peaceful civil disobedience.
Wow. And I guess, and from there, we were lucky enough to meet Tim very, very shortly after I read about what he had done. It was just, it was about a week after what he had done that I read about it, and then we were on our way to California to the Wild and Scenic Environmental Film Festival in Nevada City, California, where we were going with our film American Outrage. And we actually were doing something just like this, doing a radio interview, and the person that was being interviewed before us was Tim DeChristopher. And so we were listening to the show, and they asked him what was next for him, and he said, well, I'm on my way to the Wild and Scenic Environmental Film Festival because I was just invited there to speak. So, it was just amazing, serendipity. And when we got to the festival, I asked the director if we could meet Tim, and she introduced us to Tim. And by that evening, we had talked about, possibly following him around and doing a film on him, depending on how things developed. And we thought perhaps it would be a short film. But it turned out to be a much longer film and a much longer process, and here it is 4.5 years later.
I think once he was indicted, that's what really turned it in from a short film into a very long film.
Fascinating story. DR and I talk about Tim DeChristopher often. He is a hero in the environmental movement and climate change activism, and Lord knows we need more leaders emerging. Do you think he's a natural born leader, or is he evolved into, you know, one of the few spokespeople out there today, besides Al Gore and Bill McKibben?
Well, I think Tim is, I think it's both. I think he is a natural born leader, but I think he's evolved into, you know, the situation that he's now occupying. And, we interviewed his mother, and his mother said he was always kind of a leader type of kid. But he did not go to school for this. He didn't intend to do this, but he has found that in the last few years that when he began speaking out that he had a bit of a gift for it and for encouraging people to get involved. And so I think he really has a gift for it. And now I think, unlike someone like Bill McKibben, although Bill McKibben has been a very big influence on Tim, I think he wants to go in a little bit different direction, because I don't think he wants to work on just one issue at a time. I think he feels that overall we need to make some changes so that all of us can become a little more determined and passionate about taking action on things that really matter. And so I think that's his course of action, at least at this point.
Wow, interesting. I want to let my co-host, D.R. Tucker, get a word in.
Sure.
Lots to talk about. Go ahead.
Sure. As Brad Freeman and Desi Doyen pointed out at the outset of our show, Tim DeChristopher was actually prosecuted by the Obama administration for an act that occurred during the Bush administration. Do you think it was a mistake for the Obama administration to actually prosecute DeChristopher for what seems like, at best, a victimless crime, if it should really be deemed as a crime? And do you think that decision to prosecute DeChristopher signaled sort of the frustrating approach that Obama has taken to climate and energy issues?
Yeah, I think it. I was absolutely shocked when the Obama administration indicted him. I think that I've never expected that. I think it was wrong, and I think it just sort of started a lot of our own disappointment with the Obama administration and their failure to take a real stand on some very, very, very important environmental issues. I'm very worried about what will finally happen with the Keystone Pipeline. I never thought I'd be worried about it. I thought that this would be an absolutely no-brainer to turn down. I thought that it was an absolute outrage when Tim was indicted. I mean, the auction was deemed illegal. The Bush administration had not done their due diligence. And then to go ahead and indict someone and go ahead and allow them to be put in prison for stopping something that you have called and decided that was illegal, it seems to me to make no sense. I mean, I voted for Obama, but I'm very, very disappointed.
Yeah, I think that we both thought that when Secretary Salazar deemed the auction illegal, that they would just, you know, sort of forget about Tim. And then, as George said, we were very surprised when he was indicted. But, you know, although I think it was a mistake, I think for Tim, this has been part of the journey that perhaps he was meant to take, because, you know, his future actually looks much brighter now, and he's had a bigger effect, I believe, because he's gone to prison, because he always felt that taking the consequences for his action was part of the action, that it wasn't just to stop that that auction. It was also to show that things were being done that shouldn't be done, and he wanted to show that if someone stands up, that either a jury should either find that person not guilty for taking that stand, or that person should go to prison and shine an even bigger light on the injustices that are happening.
Well, you've shown a very bright light on what happened. We're going to listen to the trailer for just a couple of minutes, because I think it really portrays the story well, and then maybe we can back up a bit if anyone is not familiar with what happened to Tim.
I'm 2 1/4 in the back and not a 2 1/2. 2 1/2 to 2. Thank you, I got 3 1/2.
They said, "Are you here for the auction?" I said, "Yes, I am." And they said, are you here to be a bidder? And I said, well, yes, I am.
So $50 in another seven.
An environmentalist threw a controversial oil and gas lease auction into turmoil today.
Well, Tim DeChristopher says he's willing to go to jail, and it's possible that's where he'll wind up.
I think it's fair to say you are unrepentant.
Yes, I think that would be fair to say.
This is the formal charges against me. United States of America versus Tim DeChristopher.
Do you feel outnumbered?
A little bit. 300 million to one.
When you take a courageous action that's based in heart and courage, as Tim did, you will have people stand with you and beside you and follow in your footsteps.
This is not the first time that we've had 10,000 people in one room reminding us that we are not alone.
12 citizens like you or I ought to be able to hear what the evidence is, and then they make the decision as to whether or not he committed a violation of law or the government did at the time.
To see this land in this view, and to know there's not going to be an oil rig in the way, there's not going to be a road cut right through the middle of it, there's no way that I could ever regret what I did.
Civil disobedience is forever linked not to living one's principles, but being willing to suffer for those principles.
When they close that door behind you, they don't open it up until they decide to let you go.
The way the environmental movement has been, it's like a football game. And our team is getting slaughtered. The refs have been paid off, and then the other side is playing with dirty tricks. And so it's no longer acceptable for us to stay in the stands. It's time to rush the field. It's time to stop the game.
Are they chanting, "We have power"? I think that's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, it is.
Yes.
That was, yeah.
That's such an important message to get out there now, to make people realize, to those who are tuned into what's happening to our planet and with climate change really rearing its head, that we're not alone and there is power in coming together and uniting our voices. And it's not an old message, but it's one that needs to be, I think, brought off the shelf right about
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely. Yes. We agree.
Tim DeChristopher had an interview shortly after being released earlier this week in which he noted that he's much more hopeful that the environment, that the climate movement will be successful, because he noted that when he went in, there was no Occupy Wall Street. When he went in, there was no really, hardcore effort against the Keystone XL pipeline. Do you think he's right? Do you think that this is a time when efforts to mitigate climate change will be successful, or do you think that, he might be a bit too idealistic in terms of what might happen? You mentioned the possibility of Obama approving the Keystone XL pipeline. We also note the still refusal by so many members of Congress to even countenance the idea of a carbon tax. Is there a legitimate hope that efforts to mitigate climate change in the United States and can be achieved, that these goals can be achieved?
I feel some of the hope and some of the confidence that Tim feels, and I feel it's coming from the youth of America. I think that when we go to screenings and so forth, we find an awful lot of young people finally getting motivated and finally showing their outrage at what's going on. And, I certainly found that in the 60s against the war in Vietnam, and I've been sort of very, very disappointed in the lack of passion in the youth up until lately. But I think the Occupy movements and other movements, and I think Tim's message is really resonating with the young people. So I'm more confident and more, I think, more hopeful than confident is the right word. I'm more hopeful than I was a couple of years ago when Tim was incarcerated.
You know, I think that that's true. I think that I am also more hopeful, and when we first started following Tim there really was nothing going on, because that was, you know, the end of 2008, beginning of 2009, and really people had kind of been pushed into submission and quieted down an awful lot. But the opposition to our government policies and corporate policies has certainly grown, but so has the government and corporate policy. I mean, now we have the corporate personhood. I think it's going to take so much. It's really going to take so much to make big change. I mean, when we can't even get background checks on guns, I don't know how we're going to get, you know, some of these changes that we need to make happen. But I do think that there is a bigger movement of young people, of concerned citizens. We've had our film invited to so many churches lately that's been very, you know, sort of gratifying and surprising, and that there really is a lot of movement to stand up for our values and, you know, and our world, but the opposition is stronger than ever. So I think it's a difficult situation.
I remember just the other night when we were in Salt Lake and we premiered the film at the Tower Theater, and a couple of people were wearing mature people in their 40s, 50s were wearing Bitter 70 hats outside, and they said, you know, we're going to get into some real tough conversations with my brothers and sisters and father about this issue, and I'm not going to be quiet anymore, and I'm going to wear this Bitter 70 hat proudly, and I was encouraged by that. That people were so motivated that they were ready to take on some of their relatives that feel differently.
Well, that's what compelling media can do. In our pre-interview conversation, we mentioned, you know, Chasing Ice, and that profound impact it had on the Fox News fan who went in to, quote, laugh at climate change and came out near tears, could not deny what she saw with her own eyes. It's so important that these, you know, films get made, and thank you so much. I cannot wait to see it. And this movie we should mention is the winner of 15 major festival awards.
19. They keep coming
the Mill
in
Valley
every day.
Film Festival. That's my hometown of Mill Valley, and I didn't even realize it was in it, or I would have seen it. How can people see it, and how can we help? You know, get more of the mainstream American, you know, public to see this film. It's usually the usual suspects, and God bless them, those who are, you know, really tuned into this and care about it most.
Well, this is a great
obviously
question.
It's got to go beyond that.
Well, this is a great question, and thank you for asking it. First of all, it's going to open in New York, and then it's going to open in Los Angeles.
On May 17th.
May 17th in New York, in a traditional theatrical release program. Then it'll be followed up in Los Angeles on June 7th. It'll be in Salt Lake on May 10th. We're hoping very much that it finds a theater in San Francisco. The whole Bay Area has been very supportive of this issue. We're at the San Francisco Green Festival. We encourage everybody to come see the film there. It's one of the featured films, and that will be right in San Francisco. We're also playing at the Sausalito Film Festival. Then the other thing we're doing, which I think is really taking hold, is we're making this film available for community screenings, whether it be your church, whether it be your high school, whether it be your college, whether it be just a bunch of people, 20, 40 people want to get together in an auditorium and show this film. They just get a hold of us at info@gageproductions.com, and we arrange that you can, there's a fee involved, but we arrange for you to be able to get the film and show it to your community.
I just wanted to add that when we show the film Bitter 70 at the San Francisco Green Festival on June 3rd, Tim will be there. And he will also be at the Mendocino Film Festival the 2 days before that. I think it's June 1st and 2nd. So for anyone that, you know, is listening and wants to see the film and also get to listen to Tim, that would be a great opportunity.
And I think a wonderful thing has happened recently with Tim that's going to enable him to continue to spread his message is that he was just accepted, or not just while he was incarcerated, he was accepted to Harvard Divinity School on a full scholarship. So this fall, Tim will be attending Harvard, and I think that we're lucky enough to have the availability of having Tim attend some of these screenings that we're setting up, like the San Francisco Green Festival and the Mendocino Film Festival, and hopefully some of these community screenings that we set up along the way. We've been setting up a lot of community screenings.
Well, I'd love to meet you at one of the ones in Marin or San Francisco. You seem like a very inspiring couple, and I just, you know, really appreciate your work. I just want to mention before we say goodbye that San Francisco, I'm proud to say, the supervisors here this week just voted to divest in all investments that are with oil, coal, you know, fossil fuel companies.
Fantastic.
Doesn't make it fully official, but it's a big step in the right direction, or maybe the left direction, this being where a lot of change originates. So that's some bit of good news on this Earth Week. And then DR may have a parting question, but I just wondered, is it totally coincidental that Tim DeChristopher was released on Earth Day, if it was actually Monday? And then also we hope to get him on the program before he starts school in the fall. I know he's a busy guy and in big demand, but we'd be honored.
That would be great. I'd look forward to that as well. I think the government never really put it together that Earth Day is the 22nd of April and Tim was released on the 21st. I just think they never put it together.
I believe you. Thank you.
You mentioned that Tim DeChristopher will be attending Harvard Divinity School this fall. Do you think that he will use his voice to successfully get Harvard to divest from its investments in fossil fuels? Harvard seems to be quite resistant to doing that, which, as Bill McKibben and others have pointed out, is quite strange because so many people learned about the science and the reality of anthropogenic climate change from their studies at Harvard. So do you think that Tim could be the voice that's loud enough?
If anybody could do it, Tim can do it.
Right. And perhaps in concert with Bill McKibben and some others, you know, he'll be able to bring that message. We were at his church, the Unitarian Church in Salt Lake City, just this past Sunday when he called for the first Unitarian Church in Salt Lake City to divest, and they have already decided to do that. So, you know, it's already, you know, part of his game plan.
Could I have a parting remark?
Please.
Sure. Okay. I just think the power of the of film is so, so important. I just got a phone call from a previous film where a gentleman was so taken with the Shoshone elder that is the protagonist of our film that he's donating 20 acres of land to her in northern Nevada. And I think that this was so encouraging.
I couldn't agree more, and I love the tagline for your film, A Bitter 70. It's, this is what hope looks like, and Lord knows we need hope, we need inspiration and information, and you've delivered it in this package, I can tell, just from listening to the 3-minute trailer. So,
thank you so much.
Well, come see the film, please.
Yeah, absolutely, and I'll tell everybody about it. I've got a big mouth. DR is in Boston. He'll take care of the East Coast. I'll take care of the West Coast.
Great. Oh,
and
great.
We'll hopefully pack those theaters. I wish we had that much influence, but we'll do our best.
Well, hopefully.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And thanks for the interview. We enjoyed it. Very good questions.
Love having you. And DR, thanks for joining for the first half. When we come back after a quick break, we're going to be talking about another story that is unfolding with some positive developments, and that is going to help forests in the southeastern portion of this country. Dog Patch Alliance up next.